Today's daf is Kulin Daf Chaf Beis. We left off on Daf Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, and we were in the middle of discussing the following issue. There is a chiluk between a Chatos Ha'of and an Olas Ha'of, in that the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah's Havdalah by an Olas Ha'of, and there's an Isser Havdalah, there's an Isser to separate the head from the body by the Chatos Ha'of. Now, there was machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, what you have to do for the mitzvahs Havdalah by an Olas Ha'of. Whether you only need to cut Rov Shnei Simanim, or you need to cut Kol Shnei Simanim. So we left off yesterday with a brisa that had three shitos, had a darshan psukim. And specifically, the pasuk tells us, Vesasheni yase ola kamishpat. When it talks about an ola sa'of, it says it's supposed to be done kamishpat. So the Tanakama of that brisa that we quoted mentions that, it explains that kamishpat means that the ola sa'of should be like a chatas behema. Not like a chatas sa'of, but rather like a chatas behema. So we said, in what way is it like a chatas behema? Just like a chatas behema is purchased with chul in money, it's not purchased with Maisa Sheni money. So too, an Olas Ha'of is purchased with Chulin money, not with Maisa Sheni money. Just like a Chatas Behema is only brought by Yom, so too an Olas Ha'of. Just like a Chatas Behema is only with the right hand, so too an Olas Ha'of has all of those dinim. You might have thought, therefore, that an Olas Ha'of is good enough to do Birov Shnayim, to cut Rov of Shnei Simanim, just like that's the halacha by every behema, including a Chatas Behema. So that's why the pasuk says, Umalak vihiktir, that just like the Haktara, when you burn the Olas Ha'of, the head is separate from the rest of the body, so too when you do the Malika of the Olas Ha'of, the head is separated from the rest of the body. So as it turns out, the reason I'm going over this is because the Gemara is going to discuss the sheet of the Tanakama right now. So as it turns out, according to the Tanakama, from Umalak v'Hikter, we already know, we learn that when you shecht the Olas Ha'of, the head must be separated from the rest of the body, which means you need to shecht Kol Shnei Simanim, not Rov, you need to shecht the entire Shnei Simanim. So ask the Gemara now. We are holding right now on the sixth line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth line, beginning of the sixth line on Chav Beis Amid Aleph. So ask the Gemara, V'Tanakama. According to this Tanakama, V'chimiachar dinafkolan mi v'malak v'hiktir v'kri v'lamali. Once we learn from v'malak v'hiktir that at the time that you do the Malika, you should be separating Kol Shnei Simanim, you should be separating the head from the body in a very severe way by cutting the entire Beis Simanim, well then what was the Hikrivu there for? The Hikrivu we darshin is to chilek ha-kasav bin chatosov lolasov. The Tanakhama darshin to tell us that there's a difference between the way we do a chatosov and the way we do an olasov. Well, we already know the way you do a chatosov, the way you do the malika, is you cut rov simen echad. So obviously, if you have a pasuk that says v'malak v'hiktir, that just like the haktara is done with the head separately and the body separately, so too the Malika has to cut Kol Shnei Simanim. Obviously, it's not like a Chatas Ha'of. A Chatas Ha'of, you only cut Rov Simen Echad. Why do I need a separate pasuk to tell me that the Olas Ha'of is different than the Chatas Ha'of? So answers the Gemara, Ilavi Hikrivo, had I not had this separate word in the pasuk to distinguish between Olas Ha'of and Chatas Ha'of, Hava Amina my Kamishpat. You know what I would have said the word Kamishpat is about? Kamishpat Chatas Ha'of. Remember, what he actually used Kamishpat is to compare the Olas Ha'of to the Chatas Behema. But I would have thought Kamishpat means that the Olas Ha'of should be just like the Chatas Ha'of. But wait a second, how could I have thought that? What about Umalak V'Hiktir, which tells me clearly that the Olas Ha'of, you need to cut Kol Shnei Simanim, you need to sever the head, which is so unlike a Chatas Ha'of. V'imishum Umalak V'Hiktir, and if you would have brought me the pasuk of Umalak V'Hiktir, I would have told you that's coming to teach me an entirely different drasha. Hava Amina, Ma Haktara Barosh Shel Mizbeach, Af Malika Barosh Shel Mizbeach. I would have said it's talking about the location on the Mizbeach where the Malika is done, not how the Malika is done in terms of what you're doing to the animal. So I would have said, had I not had the Ikrivo to teach me that had I not had Vikriva to teach me that there's a difference between the Chatasov and Olasov, I never would have used Umalak Vihiktir to be highlighting a difference between Chatasov and Olasov. I would have thought Umalak Vihiktir is just teaching me where on the Mizbeach you're supposed to do the Malika of the Olasov. But I would have thought that the Pasuk, when it says you should do the Olasov Kamishpat, doesn't mean Kamishpat Chatas Behema, but rather it means Kamishpat Chatasov, and I would have equated the Chatasov with the Olasov. Hashtu Dekasov Rachmana Vekrivo Drosh Be Nami Ha. But once we have the Pasuk Vekrivo, which again is there specifically to tell me that Chatasov and Olasov are different from each other, now I can use Umalak Vehiktir to teach me two dinim, both the din of the location on the Mizbeach where I bring the Olasov, as well as the din that when it comes to the Olasov, you have to cut Kol Shnayim. You have to cut both Simanim in their entirety. If you look at Rashi, he explains in a little bit more detail. In Dibur Maskel, V'imi Shumu Malak V'hiktir, explaining the Hava Amina, what I would have thought had I not had V'ikrivo, but halfway through that Rashi, he writes, V'kivan demi bayla l'milsa achrita, since anyway you need Umalak V'hiktir for another drasha to teach me the location on the Mizbeach, lo alim l'me'ekar akesha de kemishpat me'ahu de salak minei, then you never would have said that kamishpat, meaning the word kamishpat, pashup shan and pasuk, is that it's comparing olasov to chatasov, because we were just discussing chatasov. In order to say that it's comparing olasov to chatas behema, you need a hechrich, you need something telling you not to compare it to chatasov. So had I not had vakrivo, and I only would have had umalak vihiktir would not have been enough to tell me not to compare Ola Sa'ov to Chata Sa'ov. Because Umalak vihiktir I could have done something else with. I could have learned only one drasha from it to teach me the location on the Mizbeach. Dika l'midrash hakesha, the Malika v'aktara leading Rosh HaMizbeach. The hakesh between the Malika and the Aktara could teach me the din of Rosh HaMizbeach. The hakesha, the kamishpat leading Achizas, Rosh V'guf. And the hakesh of kamishpat, I would have said, yeah, there is some similarity between the Olasov and the Chatasov in terms of how you hold the head and the body at the same time as you're sprinkling the blood. That's all it could be teaching me. But Hashto Diksivi Krivu Al Korchach Akremine. It's clearly uprooting the Mashmaus of the Pasuk, and it's telling me the Chiluk Legamri Mashmalei Lutanakama, that there's a complete separation between the Olasov and the Chatasov. To Lo Tigmar Mine Klal, you should learn nothing from the Chatasov to the Olasov. And therefore, what is Kamishpa teach? What is Kamishpa telling me? The Olasov should be like what? It should be like Chatas Behema. Once you're telling me that the Olasov is like Chatas Behema, now Umalak Vihiktir could be teaching me everything that you could possibly learn out from Umalak Vihiktir. Not just the location on the Mizbeach, but Bein Le'inyin Rosh Hashal Mizbeach. Bein le'inyin harosh ba'atzmo v'aguf ba'atzmo. It could be teaching me both the din that it needs to be barosh hashal mizbeach, as well as the din that the head and the body of the animal are supposed to be severed from each other. So that's why we need all of the different phrases in the pasuk in order to arrive at the din that you cut shnei simanim entirely by an olas ha'of. Period. Fine, now the Gemara is just going to pick on some of the dinim that we learned from Chatas Behema. We said that an Olas Ha'of is like Chatas Behema, in that it can only be purchased with chulin money, it has to be brought during the day, it can only be brought with the right hand. So ask the Gemara, Chatas Behema deina ba'alam en achulin minolan. If you're going to learn that this is true about Olas Ha'of from Chatas Behema, you first need to know that this is true about Chatas Behema. Where do we find Chatas Behema can only be purchased with chulin money? Where does it ever say that chatas behema is only purchased with chulin money? So says Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, da amakra, v'hikriv Aaron as para chatas, asher lo. And we darshan asher lo means two things. First of all, mishalo v'lo mishal tzibur. It has to be non-communal funds. And Rashi says communal funds would be the trumas halishcha. So not from the trumas halishcha money. And secondly, v'lo mishal meiser. It also can't be purchased with meiser sheni money. That's how we know that it has to dafka be with chulin money. How could we make two drashas from the same phrase? Asher lo, it's coming to be two separate things. It's one phrase. So Rashi writes, "Titrei asher lo k'suvim b'parsha." It says it twice. We're actually not darshaning one phrase. We're darshaning two separate phrases. V'afilu Rabbi Yehuda d'amar Meiser Mamon Haditu. Then ask Rashi. Wait a second. There is a machlokas throughout Shas. Meiser Sheni. Do we view Meiser Sheni as your own money? It's just that you're limited in where you can eat it. It's mine. I just have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Or do we, it's very rare that you have something that's yours where you're limited based on the place that you're allowed to eat it, right? We don't have so many dinim like that. But let's say, I mean, non-kosher food is non-kosher food. If I'm not allowed to eat it, I'm not allowed to eat it. Here you have something that I'm not allowed to eat in a certain place, and it's mine. So there's one shita that's Rabbi Yehuda shita that it belongs to me. It's just that I'm limited in where I can eat it. The shita of Reb Meir though is no, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can't take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food and go wherever I want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you could share it with me here in Yerushalayim. Outside of Yerushalayim, you can't have it. It's mamon gavoa. So if you're going to say Asher Lo teaches me to exclude Meiser Sheni, well, that works very well if you assume that Meiser Sheni is not Lo. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to a human being. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that very well. If you say that it's mamon gavoa, Asher Lo excludes mamon gavoa. But if you hold that it's mamon hedyot, how do we learn from Asher Lo to exclude Meiser Sheni? So that's what Rashi is dealing with over here on the last skinny line. V'afil Rabbi Yehuda d'amar Meiser mamon hedyotu, l'hachi asa Asher Lo l'mimate. Still, Asher Lo has to be coming to exclude something, and there's an extra Asher Lo, so it must be coming to exclude something that I don't have complete rights in. So it's not a perfect drasha in the sense that the mashmaus of the words necessarily mean to exclude Meiser Sheni. It's not the definition of the words that excludes Meiser Sheni. It's the fact that these words exist in the Torah. It's the fact that these words are completely extra in the Torah. If you held Mamon Gavoa, you wouldn't even need the words to be extra. Just what the words mean are something that belongs to you. Meiser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. So that's why the drasha works. Says the Gemara Vayter, Biyom, ask the Gemara, wait a second, Biyom, the fact that you have to bring the Olas Ha'of Dafka Biyom, do we learn that from Chatas Behema? Mi Biyom Tzavosa Nafka. We learn it from Biyom Tzavosa. Why do we have to have a limud from Chatas Behema? By all Karbonos it says, Biyom Tzavosa La'akriv, which is Mashma Biyom V'lo B'layla. So that's true of all Karbonos. Why do I need a special limud that Olas Ha'of can only be brought by the day from Chatas Behema? That's true of all Karbonos. So ask the Gemara, we just threw that one in there. That one's not really learned from Chatas Behema. That one we really know on our own. That's true about all Karbanos. So then we go to the third halacha that we learned from Chatas Behema. Yodo Hayumanis, the fact that you need to use the right hand. So midraba barbrachana nafka, says Gemara, we know that from Rabba Barbrachana. Dam Rabba Barbrachana Rav Shimon Lakish, kol makom shomer etzba, O kahuna, enu eliyamin. Wherever it says etzba or kahuna, we have this sugya in the beginning of Menachos. Whenever it says etzba or kahuna, it always means your right hand. So by olas ha'of, we already know that you need your right hand because what does it say by olas ha'of? It says v'hikrav ha'kohen. So since it says v'hikrav ha'kohen, it says kahuna, so I already know that you need to use your right hand. Why do I need to learn that halacha from Chatas Behema? It's already known by olas ha'of that you need to use your right hand because it says v'hikrav ha'kohen. It talks about kahuna. So the answer is the Gemara, v'idach kahuna baya etzba, etzba lo baya kahuna. Now, if it only says kohen, you still need the word etzba to teach me that you need to use your right hand. Had it only said the word etzba, not kohen, that would suffice. Meaning there is such a shita that etzba and kahuna are not the same. The Gemara Menachos then, of course, asks, well, wait a second, if every time it says kahuna, you still need the word etzba to teach me that you need to use your right hand. The Gemara itself asks, well, then what's the point of the word kahuna in the first place? But be that as it may, the Gemara says, Tanakama must be holding like that shita that kahuna alone doesn't teach me you need to use your right hand, and that's why he needs to learn that olas ha'of has to be done with the right hand from Chatas Behema. V'tanakama, so period. V'tanakama v'Reb Elazar Rebbe Shimon mimul ha'oref minalahu. According to the Tanakama and Reb Elazar Rebbe Shimon, how do they know that olas ha'of has to be done done mimul ha'orif, that the malika, the olas hov, has to be done in the back of the neck. Meaning, essentially, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon used the word kamishpat to teach me something else. That kamishpat, according to the Tanakama, teaches me olas hov is like chatas behema. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says it teaches me that it's like chatas ha'of, whereas the middle sheet, remember we had three shitos yesterday, so the middle sheet told me that kamishpat is kamishpat chatas ha'of, ma chatas ha'of mimul oref. It's there to teach me that it's like the chatas ha'of in the sense that in this that you do the malika in the same way on the back of the neck. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon also used kamishpat to teach me that it's like chatas ha'of, but not to teach me where you do the malika on the neck. To teach me, he used it to teach me that your oches barosh beguf, that you hold the head and the body at the same time while you're sprinkling the blood. So the only one that used that had a drasha to teach me that olas ha'of, the malika of an olas hof is done on the back of the neck, is the middle shita. But both the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon didn't have any drasha to teach me that you do the malika of the olas hof on the back of the neck. So ask the Gemara, where do they know it from? So gamri malika mi malika. Well, they learn it from malika v'chatas hof. Malika means one thing throughout the entire Torah. So if malika means that you slice with your fingernail or you push through with your fingernail on the back of the neck of v'chatas hof, it means the same thing by an olas hof. You don't need any fancy drasha. You don't need any extra words in the psukim. Okay, now we move on to the main sugya for today. New Mishnah. Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, toward the bottom of the page, brand new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kasha B'Torin Pasul B'Bnei Yonah. There are only two types of birds that can be brought as karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. One cannot bring a chicken in the Beis HaMikdash as a karban. Not all kosher birds can be brought as a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. Only Torin U'Bnei Yonah. So the halacha, though, is that they're only kosher at certain ages. So says the Mishnah, that which is kosher, the age which is kosher to bring Torin, is possible to bring B'nai Yonah. Torin can only be brought once they're a little bit older. B'nai Yonah can only be brought once they're a little, can only be brought while they're still young. Kosher b'bnei Yonah, pasul b'torin. When the ben Yonah can still be brought, then the Torah, a tor of that age, a turtle dove of that age, that a ben Yonah would be kosher, would in fact be pasul. Tchilas hatziyuv b'zeh b'zeh pasul. And there is an in-between age, when it's too old for a ben Yonah, but still too young for Torin. So that's the in-between age, is the tchilas hatziyuv, the beginning of the goldening of the feathers where it's that in that in between age where it's going to be possible. If you look at Rashi, b'masis tchilas hatziyuv b'zav tchilas hatziyuv shabzav shabzav pasul tchilas hatziyuv k'shemaschilim l'havi notzi yafat tzuhuva saviv l'tzavar, when it has a bit of a yellowish or goldish feather that starts growing around its neck, psulin b'zav b'zav. Kach mefarish b'gemara, dibibnei Yonah psul mishum godlan, ubetorin mipnei kotnan. It's too big for a ben Yonah, too small for a tor. Diyatzu michal ktanim ulchal gedolim lo ba'u. It is beyond small, but is not yet big. It's a tweener. It therefore is not good to be used for anything. Now the achronim deal with the issue. Now, once you tell me that kosher b'turin pasul b'bnei Yonah, that which is kosher for the Torah is pasul for the ben Yonah, isn't it obvious then that which is kosher for a ben Yonah is pasul for a Torah? Meaning that if anything that's kosher for a Torah is pasul for ben Yonah, so anything that's kosher for ben Yonah is by definition going to be pasul for a Torah. So the Kol HaRamaz, according to the Shar Mitzvah Balach over here, says that Enochinami, this second clause isn't really needed, but to fit in the consistency with other Mishnayos where it is going to be needed to say both ways about the Malika and the Shechita, etc. So we throw it in over here. However, the Shoshanim LeDavid has an explanation why it's needed. He said, had we only had Chad Bava, we only had one phrase over here, Kasher B'Torah Pasul B'Bnei Yonah, I would have thought that all types of small birds, meaning all types of small B'Nai Yonah, no matter how small they are, would be kosher. I mean, I would have thought that there is no Ben Yonah that's too small to be a Ben Yonah. So that's why we have an extra phrase to kashrub b'Ben Yonah, just to let me know that there's such a thing as a pasul by a Ben Yonah. There's such a thing as being too small. And the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis what that is, what size that is, that there is a certain size that's even too small for a Ben Yonah. So even though a Ben Yonah is supposed to be small, there are limits to how small is. Okay, says the Braisa, Tan Rabbanan, Torin Gedolim, Torin have to be large, Gedolim Ksherim, Ketanim Psulim, large ones are kosher, small ones are pasul. B'nei Yonah, it's the opposite, Ketanim Ksherim, Gedolim Psulim, small ones are kosher, large ones are pasul. Nimtzot, so the Braisa says, it therefore turns out, kosher b'turin pasul b'nei Yonah, kosher b'nei Yonah pasul b'turin. What's kosher for one is pasul for the other, what's kosher for the other is pasul for the one. Says Tosfos, a brisa dacha lo shayich lemeida k'tos dibra maskel nimtza. A brisa dacha lo shayich lemeida hai nimtza lemu'utei mai. Meaning previously, when we had a discussion about the difference between malika and shchita, so we said, wait, this phrase that nimtza, that which is kosher for the malika is pasul l'shchita, kosher l'shchita is pasul l'malika, l'mutei mai, what's that coming to teach me? That was on Daf Chaf, we had this discussion. What's that extra phrase coming to teach me? So why don't we ask the same thing on the Braisa? You already told me that the Torah has to be big, the Ben Yonah has to be small. What's the nimtza coming to teach me? Nimtza, that if one that which is kosher for this one is pasul for that one. We asked that kasher earlier. Why don't we ask the same kasha over here? So Tos says, no, you can't ask the kasha. Hai nimtza l'mutei mai k'dayik l'ala masnisin. De nimtza kasha b'shkita pasul malika. Dahach braisa amasnisin kaima l'frushe de torin gedolim k'sherim. V'hadim asayim de nimtza k'mo sh'amru mishnah seinu. What our braisa does is what a braisa is supposed to do. Our mishnah didn't give us the details. It just said what's kasha for one is possible for the other. And it never told us, what is taka kasha for Ben Yonah? What is taka kosher for Torim? It never gave us any halacha. So the Brice has to fill in the detail, it has to fill in the halacha that's being taught, and then it concludes with nimtza, and it goes right into the phrase that the Mishnah uses. So nimtza is not extra, because the Brice is clearly adding something. It's adding the halacha and explaining what the Mishnah means when it says what it says. But previously, the nimtza, when we talk about the difference between Malika and Shechita, the nimtza wasn't adding anything, because the Mishnah itself had already taught us that Shechita is dafka at the front of the neck, Malika's dafka at the back of the neck. So what's nimtza coming to teach me? That the place that's kosher for shechita is possible for Malika, kosher for Malika is possible for shechita. The detail was already in the Mishnah. The Brice is not adding anything in that situation. Over here, the detail was missing from the Mishnah. So it's clear what the Brice is coming to do in this situation. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Simen Hei discusses the following halacha. If a person shechts an animal l'shem kachim, it's an issa d'oraisa, it's kachim b'chut. You're not allowed to shecht an animal l'shem kachim. However, if you shecht, let's say, a chicken l'shem kachim, so Shulchan Aruch says that's not a violation of kachim b'chut, because a chicken can't be kachim. It's simply not kosher to be used as a karban. So the Shulchan Aruch assumes or paskins that the same is going to be true for Torim Ketanim and Bnei Yonah Gedolim. It's not only if you take a different min then can be used for a karban, but if you shecht anything that stam would be possible for a karban. If you were to shecht Torim Gedolim Bnei Yonah Ketanim l'shem kachim nowadays, that would in fact be a violation. So the crazy points out Rav Yonah Sinaipshitz and Sifkat and Tess and Simon Hay that in Erev Yom Kippur someone asked him if you could take Torim l'kapara to use for kaparos, can you take instead of chickens, which we typically take, can you say zekaparasi on Torim or Bnei Yonah? And he said absolutely not, because that's a violation of Kachem Bechutz when you say zekaparasi. So we're afraid that's going to imply that it's meant to be a karbonola. The Prima Gadim points out that even if the Torah is a balmum, you shouldn't use it for kaparos, because a balmum is kasher ba'ofos. The only psul of a balmum is by behema, by oaf. You don't have such a psul of balmum. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Tan Rabban, we have another braisa. Torim gedolim v'lo ketanim. So now the braisa is just going to try to figure out how we know that this is true. Torim have to dafka be large, they can't be small. Sheyachol v'alo, meaning you have to be older, they can't be younger birds. Sheyachol v'alo dinhu, I might have thought to make the following kal v'chomer. Uma b'nei Yonah shelo hukshru b'gedolim. If b'nei Yonah must be small, you can't have older ones, hukshru b'ketanim, and yet we do find that younger ones are good, so we see that it's easier to kasher, to say that younger things are kasher. Torim shelo hukshru b'gedolim. gedolim satorim, which we know the older ones are good, einu din shuch shubiktanim. Of course the younger ones should be good. So I would have thought to make a kal v'chomer that young torim should be kosher, because young b'nei yonah are kosher and old b'nei yonah are not kosher. So torim, where even the old ones are kosher, kal v'chomer the young ones should be kosher. Tamalomer torim. That's why it says torim. We learn gedolim v'lo ketanim. The word torim teaches me gedolim v'lo ketanim. So the Gemara is going to figure out later on in a couple of lines, how does the word torim teach me gedolim v'lo ketanim? Torim just means a type of bird. How does that teach me gedolim v'lo ketanim? But before we even get to that, we're making an assumption over here. The assumption is that we already know that b'nei yonah that are possible b'gedolim and are okay b'ketanim. How do I know that b'nei yonah are possible gedolim and are okay b'ketanim? That b'nei yonah, you're allowed to bring small b'nei yonah but not large b'nei yonah? So says Rashi, Uma b'nei yonah shluch shu b'gedolim, da b'nei ketanim mashma. The Gemara already knows at this point, it's important to keep in mind, according to Rashi, the Gemara already realizes at this point that the word b'nei means small. And therefore, b'nei yonah, we already know, means that you have to that small birds are brought for b'nei yonah. The ikuva de gedolim psulim the kaman yalev. But what we don't know yet, all the Gemara is missing at this point about b'nei yonah, is that large b'nei yonah are pasul, that older b'nei yonah are pasul. But we know that the pashtus b'nei yonah means small birds, means younger birds. We just don't know that older birds for b'nei yonah are going to be pasul. We know it's not what the Torah is talking about, but we don't know that it's going to necessarily be pasul. That's how Rashi understands. If you look at Tosfos, it's not so clear Tosfos understands the same. Tosfos, ma b'nei yonah shluch shu b'gedolim, kidim mefarish b'samach to l'shtomet k'ra d'lichtov b'nei yonim. Tosfos says, the Gemara over here is already assuming what we're going to say later on, because the Gemara is going to have a drasha later on to tell me how I know B'nai Yonah has to be small and not large. Rashi says, no, the Gemara already knows it. We're not relying on a drasha later on. Even before the later drasha, we already know that B'nai means smaller ones. So essentially, what Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing about, and they'll disagree about it explicitly later on the page, is that Rashi assumes that just pasha pshat in pasuk, without any drushes, the Gemara already knows that b'nei means small birds, and Tosfos assumes that no, it's only once we're going to quote the drusha to lo lishtamit, that the Torah never says just Yonah, oh, he says b'nei, only once we quote that drusha does the Gemara realize that b'nei has to dafka be a small bird. So says Gemara Vayter, b'nei Yonah ketanim v'lo gedolim, b'nei Yonah has to be small birds, not large birds, sheyachal v'alo dinu, because I might have made a kal v'chomer, umar torim shlo huchshu b'ketanim, huchshu b'gedolim, if torim, which cannot be small, have to be, and yet when they're large, they're kosher, b'nei Yonah shuchshu b'ketanim, so b'nei Yonah, where we allow the smaller ones, einu din shuchshu b'gedolim, we should all the more so allow the larger ones, meaning I would have made the reverse kal v'chomer. So tamalomar, b'nei Yonah ketanim v'lo gedolim. That's why it says b'nei yonah, and the words b'nei yonah teach me that it has to be small ones and not large ones. So I asked the Gemara the obvious question. We just said, oh, how do I know that Torim have to be large? Because it says Torim. How do I know b'nei yonah have to be small? Because it says b'nei yonah. My Talmuda, how do those words mean large and small respectively? So Amar Rava, lo lishtamet krav lichtov min b'nei hatorim o min hayonah. Never once in the Torah do you find the Torah referred to b'nei hatorim. Never once do you find it referred to just Yonah. It's always B'nei Yonah or Torim. It never says B'nei HaTorim or Yonah. It's the fact that it never ever says it otherwise that shows you that B'nei Yonah must be younger birds and Torim must be older birds. Rashi understands that Lo Lishtamit Kra, the emphasis over here is on the phrase Lo Lishtamit Kra. Not the fact that it generally is called B'nei Yonah, that the word B'nei teaches me that it has to be small. It's that never once in the entire Torah does it ever say otherwise. It's the fact that every single time it comes up, that it says that the word Yonah comes up, the word B'nei is always before it. That's the key. Why does Rashi say that? Because Rashi said the fact that B'nei means small, we already knew. From the fact that it calls it B'nei Yonah, we already knew B'nei meant small. What's the Gemara adding over here? That it can't be large. How do I know it can't be large? You know that a large bird is possible. The fact that L'chadchil is a small bird, that's mashmos of the possible. B'nei Yonah means small bird. What's the Gemara adding now? That a large bird is possible for a Ben Yonah. You can't bring a large Yonah. Why? How do I know that? That's from the fact that it never once in the Torah refers to a Yonah. It only refers to B'nai Yonah. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosos completely disagrees. Tosos says, if you look in Dibra Masch, Lolishta Mikra, Al Korche Lav Mishum Di'ika Harbi Mikra Uz Kadarish. It's not because there are a lot of psukim that all say B'nai Yonah. Tafiloya Kosovela B'chaduch the Torim of B'nai Yonah, having much in the Midrash, Midachsiv Bahai B'nai Yonah, Bahai Loksiv B'nai. Even if it only would have said it one time, I already would have made this drasha that only young B'nai Yonah are kosher, not old ones. The lama yeshu livsok liyasa lepasuk liyasa l'shon of lichta b'nei b'chinam. It's just the fact that the Torah says it one time. Why would it ever need to write the word b'nei? If not to teach me this drasha, why does the Gemara use the phrase d'lo l'shtamit, which means that it never once says otherwise? Okay, that's stam as an extra riboy, as an extra chiddush, that it adds that into, as extra emphasis, it adds that in. But that's not the Ikur Drasha. The Ikur Drasha is definitely just from the fact that it says, is just from the fact that it says Ben Yonah. It's not from the fact that it says several times. If you look at the previous Tosos, he has an interesting kasha. The Gemara suggested a Kal V'Chomer that I would have thought Torim are not kosher when they're small, and they are kosher when they're big. So Bnei Yonah, which are kosher when they're small, all the more so should be kosher when they're big. So Frek tells us Tema, given that Kati Lo Kaimel and the Bnei Yonah have a Ketanim Dafka. In Cain, minale ditorim lahuch shrubiktanim, dihiguf aleyadin el midumi de Bnei Yonah. How do I know that Torah are not kosher when they're small? Well, we said, because we learned it from Bnei Yonah, that Bnei Yonah are kosher when they're small, so therefore Torah are not kosher when they're small. But we don't yet know that Bnei Yonah dafka means small. That we're only going to darshan later on when we say the lolishtamit kra, that the Torah never calls it just Yonah. So, before you have that drasha, how can you even suggest to Kal V'Chomer that if Bnei Yonah are pasul when they're big, so Torah, and yet kosher when they're small, so Torah all the more so should be kosher when they're small? We don't yet know that Torah are pasul when they're small. We only know that from the comparison to Bnei Yonah. So it says, Tosos Yeshlomar Dachi Kamar. This is what we mean to say. Had we had some other source that Torah means Gedolim, then Hava Amina Mikal V'Chomer D'Bnei Yonah, then I would have suggested this Kal V'Chomer. Very dochak, that's what we're saying. The Gemara is suggesting Kal V'Chomer, had there existed a non-existent source outside of these psukim that we're actually darshaning, then I would have suggested this Kal V'Chomer. You see why Rashi says not this way, right? Rashi says, without the drushes of Lo L'shtamit Kra, just Pashup Shad and Psukim, Ben Yonah already means a small bird. So that's why Rashi wants to say this way. Otherwise, these Kal V'Chomers don't make any sense. They're all interdependent. We don't know anything yet. How can you suggest a Kal V'Chomer before you have these final drushes? Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Eima B'nei Yonah, the Kasav B'hu Rachmana B'nei, Ketanim Im Gedolim Lo. Torim Ibai Gedolim Laisi Ibai Ketanim Laisi. Still the Gemara says, I'm not convinced that Torah means large. I get it that B'nei means small, because Ben always means, you know, a young one. So I get that. I understand that. But how do you know that the Pasuk, when it says Torah, means that it has to dafka be large? Maybe the Pasuk is telling me, B'nei Yonah have to be small. Torim could be small or large, whatever you want. How do I know Torim has to dafka be large? So dum yudu b'nei Yonah, ma b'nei Yonah ketanim im gedolim lo, af Torim gedolim im ketanim lo. So we say that Torim are supposed to be similar to B'nei Yonah. In what way are they similar to B'nei Yonah? In that, just like B'nei Yonah are only kosher at a certain age, Torim also are only kosher at a certain age. And that's how I know small Torim are not good. Tanu Rabbanan, Yachol, you call a Torim called B'nei Yonah, K'sherim tamlom min ha-Torim v'lo kol ha-Torim, min B'nei Yonah v'lo kol B'nei Yonah, prat l'tchilas ha-tziv shabzeh v'shabzeh shapasol. From the fact that it says min by both of them, that only from the Torim and from the B'nei Yonah, that means not all large Torim are kosher, nor all small B'nei Yonah. So what's it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude what the Mishnah said, that in-between age. That in-between age, which is still a little bit small, is still no good for B'nei Yonah. It's already a little bit big, but not yet big enough for Torim. So it's coming to exclude that in-between age. Me'emes ha-Torim k'sherim. At what age are Torim old enough to be called Torim, to be kosher for a carbon? Misha yashivu, when they turn golden. Me'emes ha-Bnei Yonah psulim. At what age do Bnei Yonah age out? Are they too old to be Bnei Yonah? Misha yatzivu, from the time that they begin to turn yellowish. Tani Yaakov Korcha, Me'emes ha-Bnei Yonah k'sherim. Now here's what we referred to earlier. That there is an age where even Bnei Yonah are too young. So at what age are Bnei Yonah kosher? At what age are Bnei Yonah old enough enough to be kosher. Mi she ye'alu. When they are ye'alu. So who tani love who amala? What does ye'alu mean? So Yaakov Karcha, who had this as a tradition from his rebbeim that the age is mi she ye'alu, then explained on his own what that means. This is the way they used to learn. They would have facts that they would hear from the Rebbeim, not always with all the lundas. They would just, Tani Luhu means just know what it says, know the Mishnayis, by rote, know everything Balpeh. So he knew Balpeh, it was Misha Ya'alu, but now as he got older, he had to figure out what all that meant. So he's the one that taught it, he learned the din from his Rebbeim, but who Amarla? Now he had to explain what that means. So he explained, based on the Pasuk, Efrochav Ya'alu Dam, that it's a young one swallow blood. So it means swallow, which means Amos, when is that? It means that if you were to pull a feather out of it and it would bleed, then it's old enough to be brought as a Ben Yona. If it's not yet at that stage where pulling a feather out will cause it to bleed, it's not yet old enough to be a Ben Yona. So this is the way Rashi understands the Gemara, at least, that we're dealing with the earliest age that you're allowed to bring a bird as a Ben Yona. The Kesef Mishnah points out in the Surah Mizbech, Paragimel Alecha Beis, that the Rambam has a different girsa in our Gemara. The Rambam's girsa is not Me'emasai B'nei Yonah K'sherim, what's the youngest age where B'nei Yonah Kasher? The Rambam's girsa is Ad Emasai B'nei Yonah K'sherim, until what age are B'nei Yonah K'sherim? And Mari Korkas writes that the reason the Rambam doesn't want to explain our Gemara like Rashi is because we don't find anywhere that you have to wait for a Ben Yonah to be old enough to be kosher. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas that you have to wait for a Ben Yonah to be old enough to be kosher. So Rashi has to fill us in. How does Rashi know that there is a minimum age? So Rashi writes, "Ve'emasai b'nei yonah k'sherim to be yom shenoldu mu'usim hein u'me'emasai k'sherim." Just when they're born, they're gross. It can't be that they're kosher to be brought as a carbon yet. They're just disgusting. So the Rambam says, what do you mean they're disgusting? You made that up on your own. Disgusting to you? Who says disgusting? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam doesn't find anywhere in Shas that it talks about this mius kite that Rashi's talking about. Where do we ever find such a concept of maus? So nevertheless, Lashon of the Gemara, Me'emasai, sounds a lot more like Rashi. So you have to say that the Rambam holds a little bit different. Okay, now the Gemara raises the following Shaila. Boy Rabbi Zeir, we said there is this in-between age, where it's too old to be a Ben Yona, too young to be Torim. So Boy Rabbi Zeir, Homer Harei Alei Ola Min HaTorim O Min B'nei HaYona. Let's say you say, I'm going to bring one or the other. You don't commit to one or the other. You say, I'm going to bring a bird that's either a Tor or a Ben Yona. And you bring a bird that's at the beginning of its tziyuv, at that in-between stage from the min of Ben Yonah and from the min of Torim. You bring both, a pigeon and a turtle dove that are both at that in-between stage. What's the din? Have you now for sure fulfilled your neder? Meaning the shaila is sveika havi v'nafik, that the issue is that in this in-between age, it's a suffik, whether it's still considered young or it's already considered old, in which case, you're good, because whatever it is, you were yotze. If it's still considered young, so then the ben yonah that you brought is good. If it's already considered old, the Torah that you brought is good. Odil miberya havi v'lo nafik. Or maybe we say, no, it's neither old nor young. It's in-between. There's actually a third stage in life, and this is neither, and therefore you're not yotze. So I'm a Rava. Rava says, let's bring a raya. Toshma, prat l'tchil satziv shabzev shabzev shapasal. It comes to exclude the beginning of the tzihu of that in-between stage, which is pasal. We have a pasuk to tell me that it's pasal at that stage. Well, yeah, I'm bishlam m'bar yavishapir. If there's actually this third stage, I understand why I need a pasuk to tell me that it's pasal at that stage. Eliyam r'tzveika avi yitzruchal mute sveika. But if you're going to say that, no, it's definitely one or the other, we just don't know which one it is. So I need a pasuk to tell me that at that stage you shouldn't bring it. If I'm a supak, I know not to bring it. Says Rashi, the Achron will explain, what does Rashi mean when he says that if I'm a supak, I already know not to bring it? Says the Achron will explain, what Rashi means is, because I already know, safik to raisa l'chumra. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that if I'm a supak, not to do it. This is an issue, mida oraisa, about bringing karbanos. So if I'm a supak, I already know, safik to raisa l'chumra. So the Achronim say, that's great for Rashi. What about the Shitas HaRambam? The Rambam holds in Tumas Mikdash Parak Tes Halacha Yud Beis that Savik Da'oraisa L'Chumra is only a din midrabanan. Mita Oraisa, the din is that a Savik Oraisa would be Lekula. So maybe that's why I need the drasha, to tell me that over here, Savik Oraisa Lechumra Mina Torah, that it's not just Savik Oraisa Lechumra Midrabanan. So the Rambam would have to say a little bit different over here. The Rambam would have to say that you need the pasuk to be Ma'et, a Savik Ben Torah Ben Yonah. One or the other, but you wouldn't need to be mimait. You wouldn't need to be mimait both of them, or something like that. You'd have to come up with some other explanation for the Rambam. There is a tshuva of the Ma'ari Asad. Just we'll close with this. Ma'ari Asad or Chaim Siman Lam Gimel was asked about a guy who made a neder in his aliyah to his Sefer Torah to give Nerus and Shemen to the Beis HaKnesses, but he hated the Gabayim, so he didn't want to give it to the Gabayim. So just with two Edim, he left it in the shul, and the Gabayim never had it, and then it got stolen, and they lost it, and they tainted that he owes it to the shul. So the Ma'ari Asad brought a raya from this Tosas, Dibur Maskel Vehevi, where Tosas raises a very interesting question. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow, of how it is that the Kohen would ever bring it if it's still a Safek. We'll bring that tomorrow.